Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's time to talk all things Dirty Birds. It's Falcons Flyover with John Chuckery on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Back in the Kia Studios on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. It is the John Chuckery Show coming to you live here on this Tuesday evening. Chris Marler is sitting in with me here from Saturday Down South for another hour. You can hit us up at 404-741-0929. That is the Solomon Brothers Diamond text line to be a part of the show. Odyssey app is how you catch us when you are on the go. Social media, you can find us at 92 on the game on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. I'm at JMSH316. He's at Vern Funquist. And, of course, Day-Day is producing the show tonight. This, of course, your night look at all things Atlanta Falcons. It is the Falcons flyover. We'll hear from Arthur Smith here in just a minute. The Falcons depth chart, Chris, is out for the week. And what's interesting is that, and I guess we'll probably know more tomorrow because today – was the off day in the NFL, but this is the week where several guys, and four guys in particular, are eligible to come off of IR. Deion Jones, okay. Isaiah Oliver, Marlon Davidson, and Jalen Mayfield. Now, what's going to be very interesting, and I've been pointing to this, I'm very curious. None of those guys are on the depth chart for this week. I'm going to be very curious. Obviously, Deion Jones being the main name that people want to see. I'm going to be very curious to see if he's asked about it at his presser tomorrow, what he has to say, because those four guys, I think only one guy, and that's Isaiah Oliver, is likely, if he's healthy, to come back and maybe even be on this roster come Sunday.
And that would be, if you asked me 3 years ago, if that would be the case, I'd be shocked.
Yeah,
I also thought Marlon Davidson was going to be a steal in the second round. Hasn't really worked out that way. And Deion Jones has been one of the
cornerstones.
Yeah,
he's been one of the cornerstones of this defense.
He's been like one of the guys. Like, and especially before this year, when you watch tape, he's one of the only guys that shows on tape. I mean, like there have not been that many players on that defense. But now, like we said earlier, it's a different attitude, different mindset. This defense, and it's a different performing defense. So is he going to fit? I don't know.
And they don't have to, so everybody knows, they don't have to bring these guys off. They are eligible, but they can, truthfully, they can just stay on IR. You don't, the big thing about the NFL now is two things. One is it's not three-game, it's four-game IR now.
Yeah.
And second of all is once you bring a player back and he starts to practice, the first time, once he practices, you have 4 weeks to either activate him to your active 53 or he goes on IR for the rest of the season.
Right.
So there are some changes to the IR. I think that they are going to just low-key let – and maybe Oliver comes back. I don't think they're going to do anything with Mayfield. I don't think they're going to do anything with Marlon Davidson.
No.
And I don't think – I've said before, I don't think Deion Jones ever plays another game for the Atlanta Falcons. I think they want to trade him.
I mean, like, well, and it wouldn't be a bad move to trade him, I think, maybe this year. It would be one of those things, like I said, like, and not because of a logical standpoint, just from hearing those words, Deion Jones is going to get traded.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard for me to believe. It's hard for me to fathom that.
They have done everything on a very calculated basis with Deion Jones in the offseason, from when they scheduled his surgery to putting him on the PUP list to now putting him on IR, even though he played in the final preseason game,
yeah,
and he played a lot of snaps. Then all of a sudden, he ended up on IR. There's been a lot of gamesmanship about this. So that's going to be the story to talk about a little bit later on this week.
Let me ask you this. If you're just removing, you know, the media hat from it, if you're a fan here, what do you want to see them get for Deion Jones if you're trading him?
Well, I mean,
it's got to be a running back, right?
But you're not going to get any. You're going to get a draft pick.
Right.
You're going to get next to nothing.
Yeah.
I mean, you're moving on from Deion Jones because you want to get out from the weight of his contract. Mm-hmm. You want to just, again, I don't think he's a fit for this the style
right.
of defense that Dean Pease wants. Wants more physical, tough linebackers. I just don't think he's a fit. I think you get what you can get. I know the Falcons probably aren't thinking that way, but I think at some point you have to say you got to get what you got to get
right.
out of Deion Jones. And if that's whatever, a sixth-round draft pick, then unfortunately that's what it is.
Yeah.
I don't think that there is any hurry to bring him back or any of those guys because nobody is listed on the depth chart.
Yeah.
None of those guys that were on IR, there hasn't been any hoopla about, oh, hey, we can bring this guy back now.
Right.
Because I can tell you this, as the instant that Cordarrelle Patterson is available to come back,
oh, yeah.
he's back on the roster.
Right.
And he'll be right back on the depth chart.
Right.
Like there won't be any gamesmanship about waiting to see where he's at. He will instantly be back on the depth chart
Agreed,
as soon
yeah.
as he's available to go. So, all right, couple of quick things before we get to Arthur Smith. Pro Football Focus grades from over the weekend. Here are the top five offensive grades from Pro Football Focus for the Falcons. And this is what I love. Lindstrom was number one at 97.1. More on him in just a second. Hugh Douglas, if you're listening, cover your ears because you're going to hate the stats I'm going to give you. Caleb McGarry was 89.5. Caleb Huntley was 86.7. Tyler Algier was fourth at 77.4. Drew Dolman came in at fifth at 77.2. So you had two running backs and three offensive linemen that were your top five graded guys. If that doesn't tell you about the philosophical change
right.
of this offense, nothing will.
I mean, correct me if I'm wrong here. This is a Browns defense that still has Clowney and it still has Miles.
Now, to be fair, Garrett didn't play, Clowney didn't play, and Tavon Bryan didn't play either. So they were without three defensive linemen. But still, those guys got paid.
Yeah, and they have their linebackers,
and they have their set.
Right.
So, again, those guys all get paid. They're paid professionals.
Yeah.
And the Falcons ran right at them.
No, that's good. And the fact that, again, okay, and that's because that's more so on me for not doing my research here before we start talking about it. But, I mean, the bottom line is if you're in the NFL, the last thing you want to be is predictable, right? And we talked about it earlier. Like, you're not – that's not what we're trying to label this Arthur Smith offense. But they are going to run the football. That
mm-hmm.
is going to be the strength. It has to be the strength with who you have at quarterback. And the fact that they were able to do that line up against a Browns team that has been – you know, they got a win in week one. I know that. They celebrated the crap out of that up there.
Well, they
Cleveland.
Feel like that they are – listen.
They do every year, though.
They have a Super Bowl-ready roster.
Right.
When they're fully healthy, what they're missing is the quarterback.
Right.
And that's what they're hoping that the Deshaun Watson signing coming in will do all of that. But I'll say this. It is not coincidence, okay? And I want to make sure because I'm about to hate on Marcus Mariota.
Yeah.
He threw that interception to Denzel Ward. It wasn't coincidence – that they, on the very next drive, that was the 10-play touchdown drive where they ran it 10 consecutive times. And then they got the ball back the next time and ran it four more consecutive times. It is not by accident
right.
that after Mariota threw that pick that they ran it 14 consecutive times. And people say, well, they did that because they had success. You don't in the NFL – completely take the ball
right.
out of your quarterback's hands if you trust him. You don't do that at that level on Sunday afternoon. In that league, you don't just take the ball away
right.
from your quarterback
yeah.
if you trust him. That does not happen at all on Sundays.
No.
And they went 14 consecutive runs on their offense after that.
You rarely do it even if you don't – if you don't trust him at all, right?
Yeah.
Like it's a quarterback-driven league.
Right.
You don't do that at all. There's not even, you know, there's – I understand that we don't trust Mariota, but that is a case where in the NFL especially, like, that is who drives the football. That is who drives the –
right.
All of it. Quarterback-driven league.
So, listen to this one. I love this. This is for my buddy Hugh Douglas, okay? So, cover your ears, Hugh. Through week four, the second highest graded offensive lineman, regardless of position, so guards – tackles, centers. The second highest graded offensive lineman in the league is my guy Chris Lindstrom at 91.3. And I'm telling you, folks, he's playing at first-team all-pro level.
Right.
He has been outstanding. Also, Chris, Andrew Thomas, good Georgia Bulldog, mm-hmm. and Chris Lindstrom are the two highest run-blocking graded linemen in the entirety of the league, regardless right. of position. Both of them average a 91.5 yeah. run-blocking grade.
Thomas has been doing it since week one. I have a quick announcement for you.
Yes, sir.
I have good news for everyone out there, especially college football fans. Like, I mean, just massive news.
Mm-hmm.
Aaron Judge hit his damn 60-second home
God.
Run, so we don't have to have cut-ins anymore like this one.
So now he
to talk
is.
And watch stuff about
so
football.
Now he's the sixth highest home run
yeah, exactly.
total ever.
Who cares?
Yeah. Well, how many more tweets is Roger Maris Jr. going to put out? By the way, about all this stuff?
He blocked me a long time ago, John.
Let me give you another stat here too. Most big plays through week four
like
in
this.
The NFL. This is rushes of 10 yards or more.
Yeah.
And passes of 20 yards or more. Guess what? The Atlanta Falcons right now sit at 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Actually, they're tied for 5th in the NFL.
The Falcons.
The Eagles have 36. The Lions and Packers have 35. The Browns have 34 because they have the most 20-yard rushes
right.
in the league.
Chubb.
And the Bears and the Falcons are tied at 32. That's the 5th highest total league. So if I'd have told you the most 10-yard rushes and 20-yard
yeah.
receptions, would the Falcons be up there with their offensive person?
When
nobody
said,
would have thought that either.
When you said they were tied with the Bears at 32, my first thought was like, oh, they're in dead last. That makes sense. Okay, I get
yeah,
it.
Yeah, yeah. Nope, I mean, they're 5th in the league in big plays. Crazy to think
yeah.
about. All right, let's get to some audio here. Let's hear from Arthur Smith talking about Mariota fumbling snaps.
It's been something different every time, and I know on the surface it's happening. And so we will do a lot of different things to fix it. I mean, there's a lot of things I think that have improved, but I mean, you can't deny the fact that something has happened, been different scheme every time too. So we'll certainly, we already have. I mean, not that we haven't before, but I'll do some things different. I'm not gonna get into the scheme of it, but yes. And it's been something different every time. So we gotta get it fixed.
You know, I think Chris, it really is when you watch, part of it's Mariota, part of it's Drew Dolman,
yeah.
and they're just, for whatever reason, there just isn't quite that connection there just yet. And it has been troubling at times. Dolman snapped it into Kyle Pitts on a motion play.
Yeah.
He's, you know, doinked it around. Mariota just let one slip through his hands. Look, you don't want those. Those are the kinds of things that will kill you
yeah.
in a game that's close. When you talk about a one-score game, that can be the difference between you
yeah.
win or you lose because of a play
well,
like that.
And Patterson, like with Patterson being out, especially like,
mm-hmm.
like the little attention to detail and stuff like that. That's, you know, we talk about college football all the time. You know, like the difference between championship level play and you know even conference division winning play is a lot different, right? And that's it's the little stuff like that. You can't be having a first and four that turns into a second and 13 because you weren't focused on the snap, whether you are snapping the ball or receiving the snap. You know what I mean?
Yep. Let's hear from Arthur Smith as he talks about Mariota did what was needed outside of throwing the football.
It wasn't an easy throw he had to OZ late in the game either. But when I don't know what the official time was between throws, but it felt like it had been about an hour. And for him to be able to make that throw off balance when you needed it and you had to. And the other thing I'll say about Marcus, he got us out of some things yesterday too. Play he made to Parker Hesse, play extension. He had an easier throw. Again, he felt it. And to be able to flip his body around and hit that ball to Hesse was pretty impressive and got us out of the other thing where we would have been even further off track and avoided some sacks and threw the ball away. And that's as dumb as that may sound, when you throw it away, it keeps you out of sacks and momentum-changing plays.
Well, the Parker Hesse play was also completely blown coverage because Hesse was so wide open that there was nobody within 20 yards of him. So, okay, so we spun around, did a whirly-dirly and twirled and twerked and, you know, did the dab, and then he threw it to a guy that was 25 yards open. Okay, but look, again, Chris, it's not coincidence. They ran it, you know, when he talks about it, they ran it 14 consecutive
yeah.
times over two possessions that they had before they decided to go back and throw it again, because it was not coincidence that after he threw that INT to Denzel Ward, Then it was 14 straight runs after
right.
that.
Well, I tell you what, though. I do love that kind of energy if he is going to dab in between throws.
Oh, absolutely.
I definitely want that out of my quarterback. But I will say this, too. It's funny listening to Arthur Smith talk about this. Like, he's a Major League Baseball manager saying, like, well, you know, they had a long inning or something like that. He's been sitting down here on the bench trying to get him warm. That's comical at best.
Here is Arthur Smith talking about Patterson's injury, how it can be cleaned up instead of carrying it week to week.
Again, I'm not the doctor, but, you know, you're trying to weigh all that and nothing that he did that put him at any further risk. It's just you've got to assess, well, is it something that you want to have week to week and, you know, how's it going to go? And we got a great medical team and NCP felt, and I don't hate to talk for him, but obviously he wouldn't have played if that were the case, Mike, and it's something that we feel will help him, more importantly, in the long run and help the team.
Here's what I think, though. Because their offensive line has played so well this year, and because Caleb Huntley and Tyler Allgeier are able, they showed Sunday against the Browns.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Allgeier had 84 yards on 10 carries. Caleb Huntley was the factor in that touchdown drive. Because those guys have played well enough and how good their offensive line is, I agree with Coach. Rather than just try to get through with Patterson
right.
one week, not week, this way, because Patterson only played, I think it was 29% of the snaps on Sunday. Go ahead and just get the thing cleaned up and done. Let's get this over with. We'll bite the bullet for a few weeks,
right.
but we feel good about our line and our other guys at running back that we can afford to sit you out for a few weeks while you go get healthy.
Well, and listen, you don't want to lose games ever, right? But at the Bucs, that's not easy. At the Bengals, that's not easy. Sandwich in between then, you got the 49ers at home, that's not easy. But, you know, like if you're already looking at those, like just trying to have minimal risk here, damage control, maybe we get that figured out with Patterson. And then when he comes back and we're healthy and we already get past this kind of stretch.
Yeah, now we get into Carolina and teams like that afterwards.
Yeah, the Bears at home and at the Commanders.
Absolutely. So, all right, when we come back, Gabe Burns is going to join us, our buddy from the AJC. We'll talk some Braves baseball as the Braves are up 2-1 right now as they look to try to clinch the Eastern Division. Up next, Chuck Reed in the Kia Studios. Chris Marler sitting in with me until 9 o'clock as well. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey.com app.
My girlfriend's dad is so confused. She's like, why are you talking about...
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor.
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, back with you on the John Chuckery Show, hanging out here in the Kia Studios on this Tuesday evening. Chris Marler from Saturday Down South joining me here as well. 404-741-0929. That is our Solomon Brothers Diamond text line to be a part of the show. Odyssey app is how you catch us when you're on the go. Social media, find us at 92.9 The Game on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. I'm at JMCH316. He's at Vern Funquist. Braves are up right now, 2-1. Mets have already won the first game of their doubleheader. So if the Braves obviously can win here, or if the Mets lose, then the division will be the Braves, as three chances to wrap it up tonight. So let's head out to the WadeFord.com hotline. Let's talk to my buddy Gabe Burns, feature writer for the Atlanta Journal-Constitution. AJC.com is where you can check out Gabe's work, and of course follow him on Twitter at GabeBurnsAJC. Gabe, as always, man, appreciate it. And look, we got three chances. Certainly something has to come through to clinch the division tonight, right?
Yeah. They need to get this done tonight so tomorrow's not stressful for everybody, right? You can kind of give them a pass for yesterday, you know, coming off. Obviously, they were traveling, coming off of a big, you know, emotional weekend. So you can give them a little bit of a pass for yesterday, but they need to go ahead and wrap this thing up so it doesn't get stressful.
You know, Gabe, I saw that the local baseball writers, you know, I saw this from Jeff Schultz's tweet that they were voting for either the most important Brave or like the MVP of the Braves. And I saw that, you know, it was Riley won. Dansby was number two, and I can't remember if Harris was three or not, but this is my question. I'm going to ask you the same question I just asked Bob Nightingale a little bit ago. Can you make a case that Michael Harris has been the most important Atlanta Brave this year?
Yeah. In fact, I voted for him in that poll. So
cool.
I don't know. I don't know if we're saying who we voted for, but I did vote for Harris, and it's really, as far as that poll goes, it's Brave of the Year. A lot goes into it, obviously. Community work, player. And look, you can't go wrong with Riley, Dansby, Michael, any of those guys. But I just thought the impact that Michael Harris has had, quite frankly, I think he's the difference between them winning this division. Had they waited another few weeks to call him up, maybe the Mets do win the East, right? Assuming that the Braves do wrap this thing up. But just the stability that he provided in center field, he was clearly an adrenaline shot to the team, and he's going to win Rookie of the Year. They called him up thinking they were just going to solidify center defensively, and whatever they give him offensively is gravy. And then next thing you know, he's hitting third. He's hit everywhere, but it just speaks volumes of the maturity, the production. I really can't say enough about him. You know, you can debate most important. I think there's a case to be made for several guys, obviously a bunch of all-stars on this team. But when you really look at it, I just think that when you take Harris out of the equation, I'm not sure this team wins 100 games. I'm not sure this team wins the NL East. And that right there tells you, I don't know if he is the most important, but the impact he's had, you can't say enough about it.
Gabe Burns joining us here on the WadeFord.com hotline from the Atlanta Journal-Constitution. You know, Gabe, I've been talking about this on my show pretty regularly for the last, you know, few weeks. I really think that Contreras and Darnell have been the real unsung heroes of this team this year. And there's guys that have bigger, flashier numbers, guys that have done more spectacular things, the Harrises and the Vaughn Grissoms and Strider and the young guys. But if I'd have said going into the year that the catcher position, the two guys going to man that position, and we thought it'd be Manny Pena, not William Contreras, but 38 homers, over 100 driven in, over 100 scored, I really think that those two guys have been the real unsung heroes about how good this lineup has been this year.
Well, I think if you polled people in the organization, you're not ever going to get anything on record, but I do think that a lot of people would tell you that Travis is the MVP of the team, frankly. What he does with the pitchers, what he provides from a leadership standpoint, obviously he's a good offensive player, especially for a catcher, but just the intangible things, I think you can't underrate what he means to Fried and all of these guys. It's one of the best signings in Braves history, honestly. And there's been some really good ones, but bringing in Travis d'Arnaud, what he's given them, we saw last year how hard it was to replace him, and we know how scarce quality catchers are. So for this team to have two of them, one to be such a great leader and, you know, being the veteran that he is, and the other an up-and-comer who, you know, looks, they're going to have Contreras for a long time, and you would assume he just continues to get better at all aspects of the game. I think he's gotten better at the intricacies of catching as well, which is encouraging, but the bat is always going to be his calling card. So to have two guys of that caliber, again, like that's why this team is about to win its fifth consecutive division title, and that's why this team has a shot at winning another World Series, because it just has depth and it has pop and it has leadership that a lot of other teams can't match.
You know, look, we know they're going to clinch. I mean, they're not going to lose three straight to the Marlins, and, you know, I'm not trusting the Mets to run it. But I ask this in the sense of I don't expect Strider or Ozzie to be available for a first-round playoff series. And I do think that makes the division, even for the Braves, more important, because you really don't want to have to turn around in a few days. And you're still without your starting second baseman. Obviously, the impact that Strider has had for this team. You think either or both of those guys, though, will be ready by, let's say, even the divisional round of the playoffs? Because Strider's not even been cleared to throw yet.
Yeah. Well, first of all, you are correct. I mean, that's a good, other than, you know, obviously you want to win your division. But clinching the number two seed, avoiding playing this upcoming weekend – and avoiding playing the Dodgers in the DS is all big pluses. And then potentially, we knew Strider wouldn't be back for a wild card round. He could be back. Anything I would say would be guessing, because I just – you don't know, right? We don't know about Strider right now. Ozzie, I mean, at what point would they feel comfortable maybe having him as a pinch running option and a bench bat? I don't know. It's really just a wait and see, but – in Strider's case especially, that's – I mean, if you're not going to have him in the DS, that kind of changes the outlook here, because you would assume they're going to be playing the Cardinals. The Cardinals are a really good team. They're – you know, the Pujols stuff, the Molina stuff, that's kind of the big storyline there. But we know the history with the Cardinals, and we know they have that kind of weird magic vibe thing going on that none of us can ever explain with that team, so no one likes playing them in these games that matter. That series could be tougher than maybe it would be if, obviously, if you're not going to have your 200K, you know, rookie sensation starter. So everyone's holding out hope he will be, but it's impossible to say right now.
Gabe Burns joining us in the WaitFor.com hotline, feature writer for the Atlanta Journal-Constitution, as we talk some Braves baseball. So I'll pat myself on the back here a little bit, Gabe. I have been steadfast in saying that for this year, that Vaughn Grissom was not going to play left field. And I believed it before Ozzie, you know, came back and got re-injured. And obviously we haven't seen Vaughn Grissom play at all since September 25th. I know he had some struggles, and, you know, but he's still hitting 290, you know, stealing some bases. What do you think is the reason? I mean, Arcia's been fine, but why do you think that Grissom has gotten no run for almost a couple of weeks here now, you know, as we get toward the end of the season?
You know, it does feel like it is at least partially just a mental break, right? I talked with him on Friday, and he mentioned kind of just getting to sit back and watch. And I thought that was interesting that he kind of said that. He volunteered it just because it sounded like, okay, he didn't plan on appearing. It'll be interesting to see how that – because, look, when you're going to play in the playoffs, I mean, you're going to put him in there. Is he going to play tomorrow? I'm not sure. He'd been scuffling. But, again, Orlando, you're right, has been fine. So, right now, the team is just going with the veteran. And Vaughn is just kind of getting a break after struggling there late. So, And then you also have to factor in, you know, what if Ozzy does come back? You know, is Ozzy going to be starting immediately? Is he just going to be used in a limited role? So I'm pretty fascinated to see kind of what develops right now at second base when the NLDS starts.
You think that they will play Grossman mostly in left field when we get to the playoffs? I mean, it does seem like that there's some trust there. It's hard to watch Rosario at times play left field, and we know – I don't even know – I can't guarantee you that I know that Marcell Ozuna is going to make the playoff roster. You think Grossman is very likely to going to be the regular left fielder, or you think Rosario is going to get, or are they going to kind of, you know, do the, you know, the lefty righty thing?
Yeah, I mean, we're gonna see some Rosario. Look, it hasn't been pretty defensively. If you remember the first Mets game. Freed pitching sick, gave up one run, and that run was because of Rosario.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, look, it hasn't been pretty, but they're going – Snit's going to trust him and run him out there. Grossman's been a nice addition for this team, so I assume they're just going to mix and match those guys. The Ozuna thing is a big question because he really – he provides you theoretical power, I guess, off the bench would be his reasoning for making the postseason roster, but he's giving you nothing else. So – you know, this team doesn't have that many decisions to make as far as the postseason roster goes, but whether or not Ozuna's on it is really the most interesting one.
Last thing for you, Gabe. Look, it's going to be fascinating, the Dansby conversation. And to me, there is little doubt in my mind that Dansby's made himself into a $20-plus million shortstop. Do you get the sense, I'm not saying that you know, but do you just get the sense that if that's what it takes to sign Dansby, that they're willing to, you know, even if it's maybe for a couple of less years than maybe he could get on the open market, but give him a higher average annual value, you think they're willing to do that with Dansby? You think they're willing to go 20, 22, 25 million if they have to?
Yes. As payroll continues to climb, we keep talking about it. And really, the Freddie thing, you had Matt Olson as plan B, that he was behind door number two. I don't know who's behind door number two if you don't keep Dansby. And replacing Dansby is going to be very difficult from a clubhouse standpoint. It's just going to be very difficult from a lot of standpoints. And people, I mean, I've seen people mention Trey Turner and stuff. Well, guys, if they're not going to want to pay Dansby, why are they going to pay Trey Turner
right.
that much more than the guy they know? So, look, I know that there's been talks already. I think we've all kind of had different opinions, and I imagine that all of our opinions have changed as to what they should pay Dansby or what he's actually worth. But I can tell you guys like Javi Baez and Trevor Story last year were getting like 140. I think he's better than those two guys.
Mm-hmm.
So from his standpoint, when you go out on the market, you know, even if you don't love paying it or even if you want to nitpick him and look at the different seasons he's had. Frankly, I just think he's better than those two guys. So from him and his representation standpoint, go to the market, and you should be able to do better than that.
At Gabe Burns, AJC on Twitter, AJC.com is where you can check out all of his work. Gabe joined us here on the WaitForIt.com hotline. Gabe, my friend, appreciate it, buddy. Thanks for a few minutes tonight. We will chat again as we're about ready for playoff baseball.
Yeah, absolutely. It's going to be fun.
You got it. Thanks. We come back. Chris is going to get a treat. It's time for What's Bugging Chuckery. He hasn't seen me go nuts yet. He may get a chance up next. Chuckery in the Kia Studios. Chris Marler hanging out with me till 9 o'clock. Sports Radio, on the game, Odyssey.com app.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s?
It's better over here.
Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test?
Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, back with you on the John Chukwi Show. Chris Marler is sitting in with me from Saturday Down South. Hey, losing a week in fantasy football means you're going to hear some smack talk from your friends. Check out the Reception Perception podcast for insights on which wide receivers to start this week to rack up a big fantasy win. New episodes come out every Tuesday and Thursday. Matt Harmon and James, is this guy's name Koh? K-O-H? I'm assuming. I have no idea who he is. I wouldn't know James Koh if he came up and threw a pie in my face right now. Anyway,
would be good right now, though.
Yeah. Reception Perception is available for free on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts from. Braves right now, as we keep you up to date, 2-1 right now. They are up over the Marlins. We'll get to a What's Bug and Chuck right here in just a few minutes. I wanted to ask you about the Georgia Tech job. Not so much candidates and stuff like that. We've talked about it. I get all of that, but two things I want to ask you. One is, were you surprised that Todd Stansberry got let go as well? Because you normally get to hire two guys before you screw it up bad enough to get fired. And second of all, what do you think the profile of the guy that they may want for that job is?
The profile of the guy that they need to get for that job needs to be roughly 6 feet one, roughly 185 pounds, real big mouth. I mean, just a real big mouth. And currently the head coach at Jackson State University.
I disagree completely. Tech doesn't need to worry about winning a press conference right now. They need to worry about getting that football program back on track.
So, I think it'd be Munkin from not from Georgia, but the Munkin guy from Army. And
right.
I said this when they made the different hire at Vanderbilt. I think either of those programs, listen, when you had Paul Johnson, you had a ceiling over your head, and this is one of the reasons I thought he probably should have gone. Now you kind of see what that looks like with the Jeff Collins coming in as the head coach, because he won you a press conference. And I was at those games. I love going to Bobby Dodd Stadium. It's my favorite stadium in the country. It shows you how low my standards are. But going to some of those games, and it's like, yeah, you know, if I paid the $14 for two 40-yard line seats to get there, you would think that a guy that was that charismatic, maybe it was going to carry over on the field, change the culture a little bit. It didn't. And now you're talking about a situation where you're not going to catch up to Kirby. You're not. Okay.
I'm glad you said that, though, because, and I've brought this up, that can't be a discussion for Georgia Tech right now. You have to focus, and I know the divisions are going away in the ACC, but you have to focus on beating the teams within your, like right now in the Coastal. Okay, with all due respect to Duke, I mean, he's having a nice season. But Duke, Virginia Tech is dreadful. Mm-hmm. Virginia's dreadful. Carolina's what they are. They're great offense, can't play any defense. Miami is a mess still. I don't care what anybody tells you. They're a mess. You have to focus on that aspect of it. You can't get caught up in the, we're trying to go beat Georgia. Because guess what? There is, like, the Grand Canyon is smaller than the gap between Georgia and Tech right now. And the other part of this thing is that, you know, the thing Jeff Collins talked about is bringing Sunday players in. Well, they haven't brought those players in. And then when he did have a kid who could play on Sunday, he went to Alabama.
Right.
And this program, I know it's a different world, but they can't afford to have the Jahmyr Gibbs of the world transfer out of that program.
Right.
Because there isn't anybody in the wings to replace that kid. You have to find those guys to coach and develop and keep them on campus now.
Well, and see, here's the thing. You're in a state where you are probably the third best. I don't care what some of the people from California say. This is the third best state in the country for recruiting.
Sure.
And there's athletes everywhere. You're in downtown Atlanta, one of the best cities in the country. And the bottom line is, go sell a kid on getting a degree from Georgia Tech University. Is it Georgia Tech University?
Yes.
Okay. So go get their degree from Georgia Tech University, because that holds a lot
of
weight.
Well, actually, they are the Georgia Institute of Technology. Yeah, yes, the Institute of Technology. Because they're one of the only four programs that doesn't have university in their name, right?
So don't do what I said. Go get a degree with an actual name of the university on it instead of what I said. But, I mean, either way, like you're saying, and I think with the way NIL is now and the way that the transfer portal is going to be, Georgia Tech is a stepping stone program. And you find yourself in a situation that kind of sucks, but you got to figure out how to get out of it. Go get a triple option quarterback or coach and a quarterback at this point. But go get a triple option coach, and yeah, there might be a ceiling of seven wins or more, but there's also going to be a basement of maybe five. You know what I mean? It's not going to be as dreadful as it's been.
So here's the thing. I never heard any crying and complaining about recruiting when George O'Leary was here, and he had all kinds of kids that went to the NFL. I didn't hear it with Chan Gailey when Calvin Johnson came into the program. It's always convenient, the recruiting thing, when you don't have the right guy. There was no pissing and moaning about recruiting in basketball when Stephon Marbury and Kenny Anderson were coming here.
Yeah,
there was no calculus concerns then.
Well, see, the only thing, though, I think there might be some reasons why there are no calculus concerns, is all I'm going to say. But also, we're talking 20 years ago. We're talking 20 years ago from when those guys really stepped through those doors. And now you're in a situation where I don't know why they haven't been able to bring them in as much. It might be the guy. Then go get the guy that's going to bring that type of player in. Because, you said it best. Georgia Tech has always put players in the league. They've never had a problem doing it. So all of a sudden, they have nothing.
There's nothing that is drastically different about their recruiting ability now than it was even 20 years ago.
Right.
My point is that it's always easy to use that when it's not going your way.
Right.
Then it's easy to say, well, we can't recruit because of calculus and this and that. Well, okay. I mean, again, with all due respect, you got Calvin Johnson on campus.
Mm-hmm.
And that wasn't 20 years ago.
Right.
You know, I mean, that was a handful of years. But again, you can find a guy here and a guy there. And you don't have to have all NFL players. I just think that Tech has to find a way to get a guy in here that he can focus on recruiting the kids that you need. I'm not worried about the rah-rah. I'm worried about focus on the ACC. Focus on winning what you can win in that league.
Yeah.
And to your point, there's no reason why they can't be a bowl team on a regular basis.
Yeah, that was heaven.
And that backdrop of the city of Atlanta on a Thursday night is as good an environment as you can see in college. Like, there's nothing else you could want in college football. Here's the backdrop of the city of Atlanta on Thursday night, right down here.
If you're Georgia Tech, that's the last thing I'll say about it, then do things to own your part of the market. Like, just make Thursday night games Friday night games. Like, hell, if you want to, do what the MAC's doing. Play on Tuesday and Wednesday. No one cares. Like, play Thursday and Friday night games. Own that part of the market instead of getting lost in the shuffle of these 3:30 Saturday games that no one's going to tune into.
I agree. Listen, Louisville's played, I think, three Friday night games this year. I mean, if that's what your niche has to be, then that's what it has to be. All right, let's grab a quick What's Bugging Chuckery.
Don't look now, but somebody out there just got Chuckery ticked off. Like, that's hard.
Don't make me angry. You wouldn't like me when I'm angry.
It's time for What's Bugging Chuckery on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
So, Chris, I know that a lot of people love to tell you that, oh, baseball's dying. Oh, it's too old. Ah, oh, nobody's going. This, that, and the other. This past Friday, there was a total attendance in Major League Baseball of 526,517 people that attended games just this past Friday.
Right.
What's that, 4 days ago?
4 days
Five days ago, whatever it is, 4 or 5 days ago, okay? That's the highest attendance since June 21st of 2019. It was the highest Friday night in September since the final weekend, September 26th of 2014.
Wow.
And at 35,101, that's the average attendance per stadium on Friday. That's the highest since September of 2008.
Okay.
So, I know it's easy to say, baseball's dying and all this and the other. Where? Because I keep bringing up these attendance. People are going to baseball.
Right.
Here's where they're not going. The Oakland A's, who are the disgrace of Major League Baseball. Mm-hmm. They are disgusting pig slop of a franchise. Okay? But here in Atlanta, in California, in L.A., in New York with those two teams, there's no lack of people going to baseball. Right. If you put a good product on the field in the middle of the summertime, people want to go to baseball. And guess what you've also had in baseball this year? We just had a guy hit his 62nd homer. Ugh. You can go watch Ohtani play out of his mind. You can watch the Braves and Michael Harris.
Right.
There are so many stars in the game of Major League Baseball that this idea that, oh, it's an old person's game. Really? Michael Harris is not 45 years old. Right. He's a young, exciting player. Ronnie is a young, exciting player. There are all kinds of young stars. Aaron Judge is not in his 20th year in the league.
Right.
Ohtani's not played for 20 years in the league and ready to retire. That's Pujols and those guys. Yeah. But guess
who's
what?
Who's also become.
Yeah, who's also become. Who, again, you think St. Louis is having trouble drawing anybody in right now?
No.
Okay, then where is it dying? Because every time you look, it's another attendance record. How many people? Look, the Braves have had, I think, 3.5 million people come through the turnstiles. That's not a dying sport. You don't just dumb your way into 3.5 million people, spend money, pay to park, show up, come in, buy the merch, do this, do that. If it's not a sport that people want to go watch.
Yeah.
You can't just plop something in and make it happen. If you're good and you're successful. Again, you know where they don't go? They don't go to Oakland.
No.
They don't go to watch the White Sox, who've been the most disappointing team in baseball. They don't go to those dregs. Even the team you said you like, Boston, people will go see the Red Sox or the Cubs because it's an event.
Yeah.
It's the ballpark Fenway's and everything else.
Yeah. But here's – let me just play devil's advocate here, though. Just for a second, Chuckery.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think that the reason why there were that many people at a ballgame on Friday night was specifically and only – to avoid seeing the live cut-ins of Aaron Judge attempt a 62nd home run.
Is that what it may have been? They didn't want to watch college football and see the cut-ins. But you know the other interesting part about that stat that I gave you?
What's that?
You understand that every division in baseball has already been clinched and has been clinched except the East.
See, I did not know that.
Yes.
And that makes it even more impressive.
Yes.
Right.
Because the Cardinals had already won the Central. Mm-hmm. The Dodgers had already won the West. The Yankees had already won the East. Okay, St. Louis is already clinched. Every division has been clinched except the NL East. That's the only division that has mattered for the last week and a half in baseball. So the fact that people are still coming out knowing that this is clinched, that's clinched, where people will come and watch baseball.
Right.
It's part of the fact. I'm not telling you it's the NFL. And look, even look at some of the college football numbers. There's been some declines in attendance at college football games over the last handful of years. Baseball is not losing steam. Give people something they want to watch, and they'll spend their money to go to the ballpark. Hence, see this team up here? There'll be 3.5 million people that go to the Battery. But you're not going to get 3.5 million people that want to go to Oakland Alameda Coliseum.
You could have ended the sentence at Oakland.
Yeah.
It's not going to be 3.5 million people that want to go to Oakland.
Or this ballpark, wherever the hell this Marlins Park is. Nobody wants to watch the dregs of the universe play.
No. Have you seen – you're spot on, by the way. Spot on. Have you been by the Oakland Coliseum?
I have not. That's one place I've not been.
Have you driven by Conyers ever and just seeing like a rundown strip mall?
Oh, I know. I know where the
same.
Right, exactly.
It's awful to look at.
Yeah. I mean, there's a reason why nobody wants to stay there. I get it. But you know what? If I'm the taxpayers, I'm sure as hell not help. Their owner is worth $5.1 billion.
Right.
I ain't helping his ass out.
No, no.
He can go pay for it himself.
Right.
If I'm
Vegas,
a taxpayer,
just do whatever.
Yeah, I don't care. Build it on Alcatraz if you have to, okay? I ain't helping you pay for any of this nonsense. And that's what's bugging Chuckery.
I would like to see that on Alcatraz. That'd be good.
Do something. All right, top of the hour, we're going to hear from Eric Edholm. I had a chance to catch up with him a little bit earlier on the show. We'll talk some NFL with him up next. Chuckery in the Key Studios. Sports right now to the game, Odyssey.com app.
T T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.